any voice, just not the children, but us, when he speaks, that we may heed to what he has to share, or he will quit speaking to us at a later age or a later time. So it's important that we follow that, follow the voice of God. So I just want to thank you for that. And as I was pondering upon this board here this morning, Steve shared what would that look like if all of our thoughts would be written on that board. And this past week I was in Haiti. I was in Haiti for 9 days. And I just started flinching a little bit. Just for example, coming back from Haiti, I was coming back and we thought we had enough time to catch our next flight, which we had a girl flying back with us, had a 2-hour layover. We had a 3-hour layover. And we get back to Atlanta. We circled Atlanta for a whole hour. We couldn't find a place, a time to land or a place, whatever. And we seen that she was going to very likely miss her flight, and which she did. Then we finally landed, and we knew we were going to have to really hurry to make our next flight. And we get there and waiting for our bags, and all of our bags come but one. Angela's bag never came. So we took her that ticket and asked them, where's our bag? And they said, oh, it's an F. And we were over an E. And for some reason, it's an F. So we took off running. We had to run through that airport to find that bag. To get through customs, I had to go through customs a couple times because I was already through, or the one time. Had to go through again to find our bag and find our way back to the place where we get on. Then after all that, I had some thoughts about, like, why did one bag, we had 30 other bags came here, and one bag went to F. How'd that happen? My thoughts probably wasn't real pure. Then I finally got to my place where I sit down and turn my phone on, finally had connection again. I didn't have no connection. And the first text I got is from Brother Steve. Would you want to share on Sunday? And I'm like, oh. So after a stressful week and so I had some thoughts there that it was all selfish. It wasn't no evil, but just a bunch of selfish thoughts that I had. But anyway, I'm just going to run through there just for about 2 minutes here and share what we did there in Haiti. The first morning, we got there on Tuesday night, and about 4 o'clock. The next morning, we got up and went and set up the trusses and put the sheeting on the mission house, which was about 100 degrees that day. And I know about 1, 2 o'clock, I think everybody were done. And I know we went back to my little apartment, and I fell asleep till later on that night. The next day, we went and put the metal on. You can imagine 100 degrees and standing on top of metal. And some did the soffit. The third day, we finished the metal on the outside, all the soffit, and hung the metal in the inside of the building as well, on the ceiling. And that was Friday. And Saturday, we had a wedding went to. Then after the wedding, we went to the market a little bit just to show everybody what the third world market is like, which is really interesting. And Sunday, we went to the mountains. Nate was supposed to share up there, but we had a little trouble getting up there. We had some things break down. But we finally did get up there, and he shared a little bit on that, and then got down about 7, 8 o'clock that night. Then Monday, we were stuck in our room, but all day. We had roadblocks all day there in Haiti. If you understand Haiti, roadblocks off and on just to get attention, get the government to give them what they want. So we were stuck all day Monday doing that, and Tuesday we came home. So I think we had a blessed week. We got done what we wanted to, and even though it seemed like we didn't get to spend much time with Barry like we'd like to, we did throughout the day, but at nights we only went with him once preaching. Think so. Yeah, so anyway, why don't we begin here before I begin, let's have a word of prayer, and I'll have a few thoughts in my heart for today. Lord, as we do bow here at this time, I do thank you, Lord, for this opportunity just to come here today, Lord, and be with the brothers and sisters, and just lift up your name, that you be exalted and glorified today, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you would speak through me, you would use me as a vessel, God. I know that that you have much for us here today, Lord. Just allow me just to be used for you today, to be spent by Jesus Christ. So I just want to commit this time into your hands and ask you to bless the remainder of today. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, why don't we turn to Matthew 7 here just for a text. Verses 24 through 29, I'm going to read. Talking about the two foundations here. This is, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him a wise man, which buildeth his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that people were astonished at his doctrine. And he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. So I just want to talk on those two foundations. Talk on the one, the house that was built upon the rock, built upon the foundation that was deep, that was built upon Jesus Christ. And then the other one is built upon the sand and was not built upon Jesus Christ. And as we've seen here, it talked about the rains that started coming. And we can picture this. As we go through this, we're going to liken this to our spiritual life. As the rains came, and we know that it possibly rained real slow for many days, as it kept on raining, maybe days and weeks, and eventually the water or the ground started saturating, and the water coming up over the footer on the foundation. And we know after water sits on the foundation, sits on the ground for much time, it weakens the ground, and the foundation of the home is going to be the challenge. And here, after the rain and then the floods came, liken that to the trials or the challenges of life. All of a sudden, the floods came. Then it said the wind beat upon it, and great was the fall. And we can liken that as we heard there down leadership, as a family or churches that grow up. They don't disappear or disintegrate in overnight. Is the thing that sometimes it's years and years as Satan works upon it, as the rain, little rain pebbles at first, and then the hard rain, then the flooding and all that. And so I just want to share some things. What can weaken our foundation? I just have a few points on this, then I'm going to share a few points on how we can strengthen the foundation of our Christian life. And the first one I have here is a thing that really can challenge our spiritual life and challenge the church or the home, is by getting caught up the things of this life, like riches or possessions, whatever it may be. It's good because in Corinthians here 3 it says, for now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, it says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall be clear, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it was. And we know that for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So other than Jesus Christ, if we're laying up riches or possessions or all that for retirement, trusting in that, I mean, I know that money itself is not wrong, but if we're trusting in the riches or possessions, our foundation is going to be tried. It's going to crumble. Jesus says in Matthew 6, he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and the thieves do break through it nor steal. For where your treasures is, there will your heart also be. And so laying up things that will not rust, will not pass away, that something that no one can take from us, is laying up things that pertaineth to the kingdom of God. Laying up there where it cannot be stolen. Here, we know that there's nobody or almost nothing to be trusted up on this life. If we lay up, we can lay up money with thinking that it will take care of us through this through the life to come after we get old age, is laying up treasures upon this earth. where it's gonna rust, it's gonna break through, it's not gonna hold. So one, there is not getting caught up in the things of this life. And two, I got like 4 or 5 points on this, and 4 or 5 points I'm building up. The other one here is on unforgiveness. We see, you know, here that Jesus talks about forgiving, how importance of forgiving. So here we see that if we have unforgiveness, and I trust in here that we don't. Maybe it's a brother or sister said something that wasn't very kind, and we're hurt by it and offended. And I wrote, can we forgive that person with our full heart? Or on the flip side, you know, if we were the offender, maybe we were the one that said something, offended someone. Can we go to that brother and share our heart and ask for forgiveness and tell him that we were wrong. I should not have said that. I asked for forgiveness. Can we do that? If not, the foundation that we're on will crumble. It will crumble and it will give away. And if it continues on without repentance, as Christ Jesus forgive us, are we able to forgive one another? And Jesus speaks here on forgiveness here in Matthew. He talks about the importance of it. And when I speak about forgiveness, I'm not saying that, I mean, we can go up and say, we can tell a brother, or we can tell a friend, or somebody work for that offended us. We can tell them, sorry, but in our heart, can we really let it go? As here Jesus speaks on forgiveness here in Matthew 18, he says, then Peter come to him and said, Lord, how often shall a brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times? And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore, as the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought to him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he laid not, for he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and payments to be made. The servants therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, forgiving him his debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his servants, fellow servants, and owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, I will pay thee all. But he would not, and went and cast him to prison, till he shall pay his debt. So when the fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto the Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgive thee all thy debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest thou also have compassion on the fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And the Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, that he should pay all that was due to him. And likewise shall my heavenly Father also do to you, your hearts forgive not every one of his brother their trespasses. So we can see here as Christ forgive every one of us completely. There's a verse that says that he forgave us as far as the east is from the west, and he took our sins and threw them into the depths of the sea. And as much as we were, as wicked as we were, many things that we done unto our Heavenly Father, we done Him much wrong, much evil. But He did. He took that and He gave us a clean slate. And He gave us the forgiveness of sins. And just not that, He wrote our name into the book of life. And I just wrote, how much more shall we be able to see or forgive each other completely? Not holding a grudge or not holding even a thought in our hearts toward the brother or toward the co-worker or whatever it may be. So I'll just see here, if unforgiveness is not in our hearts, if we have a problem with unforgiveness, we are our foundation, that the winds that came and the rains that destroyed, it also will attack our foundation on our spiritual life. Then this next one, here I wrote here, this could be a hard one. Here it says, I wrote, not seeking the will of God in our life once we become children of God. And you might want to say, what do you mean by that? But I know that the being born again is an important step in a person's life. We need to be born again. Without being born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. But also, oftentimes, people, children or whoever, get born again, but they have their own agenda. They have their own ideas, and they think they have their own plans on how to walk it out. And I just wrote, unless not allowing the will of God to work in us, and not seeking the will of God in our lives. What does God want from us? He has much for us to do. He has places to send us. He had things for us to say. And I have to say, for me, I often share that I don't consider, but I am. If I want to share, I will share what God lays in my heart. I feel that there are many other qualified brothers in here that's able to do this over me. But I'm willing. And that is what God wants. And I'm not saying I'm not always willing in things that God wants me to do. But I use that for example. We need to be willing if we want to go on in this life to prosper and to be used by God. So if we are willing as the disciples there, as the disciples, as Jesus, as he says, not my will, Father, he said, but yours. I will do this. And that is the same heart that we need in this spiritual life that wants to enter into the kingdom of God. And there will be places where he takes us. There will be times that things that he'll want us to share what we don't want to share if and when we're in the will of God. Just as he told the disciples here, Jesus commissions the 11. He went out and he told them, and he said, afterwards he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of hearts because they believed not that which they have seen him which has risen. And he said unto them, go all ye into the worlds and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth not shall be damned, and all these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name thou shalt cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents, and they shall drink any deadly thing, and it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, and he stood up on the right hand of God. And after he spoke to them in this manner, it says he was received up in heaven, and they went forth. It says, and we see that many, some of them were fishermen, some of them were tent makers. It wasn't tent makers here, but they were fishermen. And they're willing to give up anything that they were doing for the will of God, for the kingdom's sake. It says they went forth and they preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Now here it says, I found that interesting, the Lord working with them. And the verse before that said he ascended into heavens, and they went out forth, and the Lord was working with them, and confirming the word with signs of followings. And as he was with them, he was confirming them with the miracles that they were doing, raising the dead, healing the sick. So I see that comforting, and we see that, and that God still uses those things to confirm us that he's with us. And I could share many instances in my early Christian life where I was faithless, it seemed like, but I just went, and God confirmed himself strong in many ways and just caused me to cry just to see that he is with us, as he was with the disciples here. If we're willing to go, he'll be with us, he'll work with us, and he will bless us. But the important thing is that we need to be willing. In Acts here, even as Paul is find this interesting one here in 21 Acts, when the Spirit of God was telling Paul that he must go into the Gentiles. It says he tarried there many days, and there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he came into us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, "Thus saith the Holy Ghost, So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and they shall deliver him up to the hands of the Gentiles." And when they heard these things, both we and they that the place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. But Paul answered, he said, "What do you mean? And to break my heart?" He says, For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, "The will of the Lord be done." And after those days, we took up our carriages, and we went up to Jerusalem. And we see here, Paul seeing what was ahead of him here. It was imprisonment, beatings, and possibly even death. But Paul says, "Not my will." He said, "I'm ready to go if that's where God wants me." And we see that Paul, throughout the scriptures, was used by God. And it was because Paul was willing to be used by God. And here as I talked, next few verses, it says Paul was before the people. Paul was beaten, several stripes. But also, as they took Paul out of the prison, he had an opportunity to share of his conversion, share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the Gentiles. It was because Paul was willing to be used by God. I trust that we will find ourselves in the will of God. If we're not listening to that small spirit that John talked about this morning, which is our conscience, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, our foundation will crumble. As little things, you know, in all things in the scriptures, as we heard down there at leadership, you know, about the importance of every word in this Bible. And we think of just for head coverings itself, you know, it's only mentioned in the scripture one time. And I heard many people say that, come on, it's only mentioned once in the Acts. Jesus never mentioned it one time. But I believe that it is important. It's the Word of God. It was inspired by the Holy Spirit to be written. So if we see that important, how much more when Jesus says, you know, he wants us to be used. He wants us to go share the gospel, or help the poor, or feed the poor, and help the sick, visit those in prison. He has much for us to do, if we're willing to go. And we know that not everyone is able to go and do street preaching. There's different gifts, as we've seen. There's evangelists, and there's pastors, and there's many other gifts. But the important thing is when God calls us, that we would say yes, wherever it may be. Maybe going to the nursing home, or maybe just to be visit our mom and dad, or however, just that we be in the will of God. And we need, you know, yes, I just wrote, we are not ourselves. We are bought with a price, and that price was with Jesus Christ. And we need to be good Bereans and search out the Word of God to see what the will of God is for our lives. Without reading the Word of God, we will not know what the will of God is for us. And that's why it's important that we take the scriptures, read it daily, to know what God wants from us. And that's where it brings me to point four here. Another thing that will crumble the foundation of our spiritual life is not reading the Word of God regularly. If we don't have the desire to read or search out the Word of God, there's something that is crumbling in our lives. If we don't have a desire to pick up this most precious word, the most precious book that's written, and just see what God wants from us, I would say that there's probably things are happening. Our foundation could be crumbling. So I just encourage that if we don't have that desire, we need to seek God in a deeper way. And He will. He says, "You hunger and thirst after my righteousness." He said, "I will fill you." The question is, how do we get the hunger and thirst after God's righteousness? And I think it is when we read this Word of God, we see who Jesus really was, see who God was, and see the love they had for us, and see what they want from us is where we get that hunger, and see what He has and what He's saying to us. In John 15, says, "I am the true vine, and which we all know that the vine and the branch is here, but my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit is taken away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purged it, and it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. Abiding in the vine. If we want to have a strong connection, if we want to have that strong foundation, we need to be abiding in Jesus Christ. He says, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. As men gather them and cast them to the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. So we see the importance of keeping our spiritual life vibrant is reading the Word of God, building upon that foundation that was laid with Jesus Christ. And that was just the 4 points I wanted to use on that, and I wanted to use the rest of them here just on building upon that rock, that solid rock of Jesus Christ. And I could have used many other illustrations here, but them are the four that came to mind. It seemed like sometimes you preach on things that maybe that you are challenged with, or maybe you're struggling with. I don't know, but these are the four that I wanted to use. And another one that I was going to write down, and I wasn't going to talk about it until I mentioned about it. There could have been a few others that we could have used. I'll slip in mind which one I was going to share on. I have to leave it go for now. But just on the flip side here, building up on that, the foundation upon Jesus Christ, and just want to encourage us with some things that it takes to build upon and not tearing down. Here in Corinthians, I think I read that verse already. It talks about for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is in Jesus Christ. And that's the foundation. And that is where I want to build upon Jesus Christ. And may we build upon there, and it's going to cost us all that we have in this life. There will be no time for laying up riches or materials or possessions, much possessions, all that. It's going to cost us all that we have. So the first one I have here is the perfect love, having that perfect love for one another. And of course, we cannot have that perfect love for one another unless we have that perfect love for God, that God, where he says that we need to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and strength. And love one another as I have loved you, he says. And it should be in this way here. The love that should be for one another is in Acts here, and it says that fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, that every man has need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all men. And the Lord added to the church daily such as one shall be saved. And as I wrote, the perfect love for one another. What is the perfect love? You look up the word perfect, and it's flawless, it's without fault. The word itself, perfect. So as I wrote here, to be able to live out the life here, as the disciples did here in Acts 2, living together and praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord should be added to the church daily. You know, as I've seen here, they all probably were not like all, they weren't all the same. And I wrote here, you know, having that love for one another, even if there is some there are some differences with one with each other. And I'm not talking about sin issues. Sin cannot be tolerated. No, God forbid. But as brothers are made, we are made differently. So we need to be instead of looking, you know, if a brother's a little bit differently, instead of looking at his faults or negatives in someone, you will find them. And if you look into my life, you will find faults and you will find the negatives in my life. I have them. But what I want to encourage is that to be built upon the foundation is to looking for the positive things that's in a brother and how much more that will build each other up. And we look on the positive things. And yes, you know, there is time. There's time to admonish. There's time to rebuke. But I just want to encourage that we would seek out the things that are blessing in a brother or in a co-worker or whoever it may be. Because so easy, sometimes it's we point out their negative things, and we never praise them for their positive things in life. It says, 1 John, it talks about the first love here in John. He said, "Brother, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which you have from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is of the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now." And I looked up that word there in this passage here, hateth. It would be the hateth in his brother is not. I thought I wrote that down here, or I knew it. It's just a little dislike. Maybe that's what a dislike for his brother. He used the word hateth here. Is in darkness until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh not in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for your name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, little young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in this world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I wasn't going to read the last three verses there, but it goes right with it. So we see here that the importance of hating iniquity, hating sin, and practicing the commandment which he gave to us is to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind here. He says, if you do that, he that saith he is of the light and hateth his brother, that won't be so. But if we're in the light, we will love each other. We will love the things that are of the light, and we will hate the things that are of darkness. Romans, Paul shares here, he says that Romans 12, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Then he says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members are not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every member one another. Having then differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let his prophecy according to his proportion of faith, or ministry, let it wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. Let love be without dissimulation. Harbor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly, affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulations, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, giving to the hospitality. Bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep them that with weep. But the verse here I wanted to read here is in 10, be kindly, affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, referring one to another. And then over here he says that for this thou shalt not, for no, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that hath love another, he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. He that hath love for one another fulfills the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill in his neighbor. Therefore, love is a fulfilling of the law. And this, and that, knowing the time, and now is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. And let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting, drunkenness, not in chambering, wantonness, not in strife and envy. But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So that one there was just, as I shared on that one there, was just that perfect love for one another. Do we have that? Do we have ill thoughts, or do we have anything in our life that is not free, or just there's something there? If it is, we know that the smallest bitterness in a person, it will destroy as cancer does a person. So we need to have that perfect love. If we don't, we know what we need to do. We need to deal with it and to find that perfect love for one another. So the second one here I have is go on sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Also, I feel it's a foundational thing just to have that burden for lost souls, the lost and the dying around us. And I praise the Lord as I see Barry. That is Barry's heart there in Haiti. I mean, there's 9 or 10 million people in Haiti, and his burden is that souls would find Jesus Christ in repentance. And I trust that would be our burden too. We have neighbors, and we have relatives, and we have friends, and whatever it may be that are walking outside of the kingdom of God. And as we engage in this one, as a burden comes, it will take eyes off of other brothers. It will take eyes off of, as I talked about, seeing the faults of him. But our eyes will be gazed toward Jesus Christ. It will stretch to the kingdom of God. As Jesus commanded the 12 in Matthew, here, somehow I got stuck in Matthew here. A lot of scripture from Matthew. But as he told the 12 here, the 12 Jesus sent forth, and he commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and the city of the Samaritans enter you not, but go you rather into the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. And he goes on and continues on sharing about just be faithful. He says, if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it's not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor your words, when you depart of the house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for that land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. He also not just he just don't command us to go, but here he lays out how we should go and what should be in, or how it should be in place. He lays out great instructions here for us here. He says, "But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the consuls, and they will scourge you in synagogues, and you should be brought forever before the governors and the kings for my name's sake, a testimony against them and against the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought on how what you shall speak, for it should be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not that speaketh, but the Spirit of the Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver you up to death against the brother, and the father of the child. The children shall rise up against their parents and call them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of my name's sake, by all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth until the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city," he said, "flee to another." But here he just says that we're not gonna be received. A lot of times when we're not received, flesh wants to say, "Well, then we're not gonna share the gospel with him anymore." He just wants us to be willing, faithful, and go on. And he does say, just go as I command. Somewhere I skipped a verse here. So Luke 10 here as well, that blessed me as I was reading this here. As he sent them forth, here he sent forth the 70. He sent them two by two out into the villages and out to the ways, highways. He says, "Truly the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore, the Lord of harvest, '70, it's written for us as well, that we would be used, we would go forth to bring forth the good news. He said, the harvest is ready, but he says, we have no laborers. I trust that we are not part of the no laborers, that we are part of that, the laborers for the kingdom of God. He said, "Go your ways. Behold, I'll send you forth as lambs among the wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip, nor shoes, nor salute, nor man by the way. Whatever house you enter in, say, peace be in this house." And he goes on and tells them what to do. Then after they went out, and they came back in after some time. And then it says, they were excited. These 70 were excited. They said, even the demons were subject unto us. And they went on to tell him the great things that they witnessed. But he quickly said, don't rejoice in that. He said, but rejoice that your name is written to the book of life. And as he was sharing with them, that rejoice that your name is written in the book of life, and he turned unto them, his disciples, and he said privately, "Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see." And as I was pondering on that this morning, I can say that the blessed are the eyes here as well, that what we are seeing and what we are experiencing in our life. Just short 12 years ago, we were in much sin and much darkness. So today, I can say, I trust that we are rejoicing. And Jesus did say, "Blessed are the eyes," which are the things that you have seen. He told the disciples, he said, "You guys are blessed for what you guys are seeing here." Because he says that the kings and the prophets had desired to see those things which you see, and they have not seen. And to hear those things which you hear, they have heard them not. So today we are blessed. So let's continue on building upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. And that is just being faithful, going where he wants us to go. And my last one here. And again, I said I could have used many other ones, this other one, I think, building upon the foundation. I just wrote having faith in the Lord Jesus and just being able to trust the Lord Jesus with our lives. I wanted to use this one because sometimes we get caught up being trying to do things on ourselves, and something goes wrong or something happens. We're trying to fix it ourselves, but or start worrying. not trusting in the Lord. And I just wrote, having the faith is looked it up as this complete trust or confidence in God. And this morning, I think that's where God wants us to completely trust in Him in everything in our life. I believe it's important just being able to trust Jesus for tomorrow, in the future, in all things, today, tomorrow, and years to come. He wants us to put our trust in Him, because I know there's Scripture says, which I'll get to that, but it says without faith, it is impossible to please Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is and is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Can we trust in the Lord as it says here? Being confident of this very thing, that He which had begun a good work in you, He will perform it into the day of Jesus Christ. If the work that He had started in us, if we continue on in that work, if we continue on in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in Him for today, tomorrow, in all things, are we able to do that? Are we able to trust God for tomorrow, or for the food and the clothes, or in our spiritual being? He wants us to. And there's many scriptures throughout the Bible that teaches on us that if we cast our care upon Him, He careth for us. Whatsoever you desire when you pray, if you believe it, you shall receive it. But the promises are for those that are seeking Him. That's where I want to put this. It's not those that are living in sin. And you're going to have a problem trusting the Lord Jesus if you're living a sinful life. But those that are walking after God and want to bring honor and glory to Him, then promises are there, and He wants us to grab those promises, and He wants us to take them and apply them to our lives. And John, Jesus says, "Yeah, I shared that. But whatever you shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in My name," Jesus says, "I will do it." And because we know that without faith, it's impossible to please Him, as it says in Hebrews. And when you think of faith, you think of these faithful men in Hebrews here. So, but before I get to that, Hebrews 11. It says here that, you know, in Hebrews, He said, there remaineth a rest for the people of God. For he that entereth into his rest has also ceased from his own works, as God did from His. So there is a rest that we can enter into in this walk with God. We don't always have to be toiling just doubting or always just unrest. There is a rest for the children of God. He says, "Let us therefore labor to enter into that rest, lest any man fall into the same example of unbelief." That David here in Psalms, we've seen David here with a perfect rest of God, trusting in God. In Psalms 46, he says, "God is our refuge, our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed. Even if the earth disappears," he said, "I will not fear. And through the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea," he says, I know that you are there. "Though the waters therefore roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swellings thereof, there is a river, the streams whereof that will make glad the city of God, and the holy places of tabernacles of the Holy, the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow, cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Then it says, "Be still, and know that I am God. I will exalt among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." And that, David rested in that, knowing that God would not forsake him. And that's the same promise today. He will not forsake us as long as we keep our eyes, our gaze fixed upon Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 11 here, as it talks about these men, that all these that died in faith, it says, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. And they were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. And as I read that verse, you know, that is us. We have not received the promises. I mean, we have received the promises of the Lord, yes. But not seeing them, but seeing them afar off. And they were persuaded of them. And today, it's the same way. We still live by faith today, trusting the Lord Jesus. We did not see Jesus on this earth. We did not see God. But we know, without a shadow of doubt, that this Word of God, the Bible here, is inspired by, it was written by inspired men, but from God. Right, so we are blessed today. Are we able to just be able to fully trust these men here? It says, by faith, Moses, when he come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And here we see this faith here. This faith here is an action word. Faith here is an action word. It says he refused. Now we see that he trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, or trusted in God for his life. But also he refused to be called the sons of Pharaoh's daughter. Things that he put off, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. many other men here throughout the chapter here, and they took faith just to trust in God to walk through the Red Sea. Just a few more verses here on this, on building upon the foundation. It says that, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he had consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled with the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as we see the day approaching. He said, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believing to the saving of the soul. And I trust that is our hearts. We're not of that draw back into perdition, but we are them that believing in the saving of our soul. Last verses here, I'm going to close. It's in Ephesians. It says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. And a lot of these I was talking about here, what I went through, having that love, having that faith, having that comprehend. The next verse is the understanding of what God has for a will. It says, being able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and depth and the height. That is, what is the will of God for our lives? Where does he want us to go? What does he want us to do? What does he want us to say? Where does he want us to be? And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to exceed abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And to him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, the world without end. Amen. And I know that is a heart that we build upon this foundation that is founded by Jesus Christ. And I could have just shared a few words. And I could have just went and say, if you're on the foundation that's crumbling, it's because you're living in sin. If you want to live on the one that Jesus built, you gotta repent of your sins. I could have said that in a short form, but I just want to use some of these illustrations through here, some of those things that'll cause the foundation to crumble, that'll cause our families or churches to disintegrate. So we see here it's very important that our eyes be gazed, or our eyes would be fixed upon Jesus Christ. Keep our gaze there. It's the only place that we. As we ponder around us, and as I just come back from Haiti, you can go anywhere. There's the wickedness is all over, even Fort Wayne. But there it just seems more rampant than ever. They're on the foundation that crumbled. It's from the curse of years ago. I don't know how when they dedicated their country to Satan. But God loves them as well. He wants to use men to also share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. They're probably out of 11 million people, it looks hopeless. But if it's just one that would grasp the gospel of Jesus and repent, it says the angels would rejoice. And just not there, also here. So may we be found in the will of God, as I shared about. What does He want from us? What does He want us to do? Where does He want us to go? I know that if we find ourselves in the will of God, we will not be disappointed in that day, the judgment day. We can hear those words, you faithful servants from God. Come on in. So that's my heart, that we would just continue on pressing on. And if I shared anything that I shouldn't have, or anything that was wrong, I'm open for correction. So I just want to ask God to bless each and every one of you today, that you may live to the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. May God bless you all.